Memorial Day has always been a day that has made me think. It is an annual occasion to stop in the midst of our crazy paced lives to think about what we've been given. A gift I take for granted, for I have known nothing else, and that is my freedom. For me, and I think for Roxanne and Julie as well, an appreciation of this gift of freedom started early in our lives, as we remember being told of our great-grandfather, William George Stevens, whose name I carry, and his role in the Battle of Vicksburg during the Civil War. He was but a private in the Chicago Mercantile Battery, but he played a crucial role in that battle and was awarded the Medal of Honor. He lived through the war and he passed along an appreciation and respect for all those who did not survive. I suppose those memories provided a foundation upon which I built my appreciation for Memorial Day. Still, it is for me and for many a day of complex attitudes. It is a day of sad remembrances as we recall those who have died defending our freedom. I'm one of those that gets a good feeling singing America the Beautiful. I still get tears in my eyes as I hear taps and I look upon the rows and rows of graves at Arlington Cemetery. And I stop at least this one time per year and I relish my freedom. And all at the same time, I am appalled that so many could die and their deaths be so easily accepted by society. Memorial Day is primarily a national holiday on which we remember the men and women who have given their lives for our country's freedom. In the words of Abraham Lincoln, it is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. It is fitting and proper for us to observe Memorial Day, not only as Americans, but also as Christians. There should be no conflict between our loyalty to our God and our loyalty to our country. These loyalties reinforce each other. For God has not set us to live our lives in isolation or in privacy, but within the frameworks of society. We are members of a home, of a community, of a nation. Just as to be Christians is to be members of Christ's church. To live as God intended us to live, we must fulfill our obligations in each of these spheres. But what is the spirit in which we are to observe Memorial Day? I think the touching little story from 1 Chronicles today illustrates that right spirit. Recall, if you will, the story where King David, weary and spent after a hard battle with his enemies, the Philistines, takes refuge in a cave near his native town of Bethlehem. Spurred by memories of his boyhood, but knowing that the town is occupied by the enemy, he therefore is longing for the impossible. The king exclaims, "Oh, that someone would give me water to drink from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." But hardly have these words fallen from David's parched lips when three of his heroic soldiers break through the enemy lines. They draw water from the well of Bethlehem and bring the precious drink to their king. David receives the vessel from the hands of the heroes, but he would not drink of it. He poured it out to the Lord and said, "Far be it from me before my God that I should do this. Shall I drink the lifeblood of these men? For at the risk of their lives, they brought it. Bought at the price of a willingness to make so great a sacrifice, it was too costly a drink to be enjoyed selfishly. The only use worthy of it was to pour it out as a thank offering to the Lord." This sensitivity to sacrifices made for us and this sense of obligation to make proper use of our freedom constitute the right spirit for celebrating this Memorial Day weekend. I think no one has expressed this spirit so concisely and yet so eloquently as Lincoln did at Gettysburg. Three thoughts from his address deserve to be underscored today. The first is the appreciation of a great heritage. In Lincoln's words, our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. The land which the founders of our nation have bequeathed to us is the land of liberty. It is the land of equality. The flag that they lifted over it is a flag which stands for freedom of thought and freedom of speech, of conscience and worship. And it represents the right of every citizen to enjoy these freedoms and equal opportunity to make the most of our God-given capacities. The founders accepted this liberty and equality as a sacred trust from the hand of God, and taught us to praise the power that has made and preserved us as a nation. The question I pose to you this morning is, are we worthy heirs of such riches? Do we prize them so highly that we constantly thank God for them? Do we appreciate the high privilege of American citizenship? And do we make responsible and constructive use of it? We Americans of the 21st century who tend to take our freedom for granted need to recover the reverent appreciation of our freedom. In a nearby neighboring country, in this spirit, when Finland achieved its independence, a poet wrote a stirring ode to the freedom of Finland. These lines are much better in the original poetry, but even in prose, their message comes through. Listen to the words of the poet. He writes, "You are the highest, the most longed for under heaven. In the midst of long centuries and the stillness of the night, we have waited for you. And now you long expected, you bride of our dreams, are here to wipe away the disgrace of slavery. We cannot weave you a garland of flowers. We cannot make it out of roses or laurels. But we lift up to your brow the crown of our people's suffering. And standing at your altar, we vow as a nation, only over our bodies does the oppressor come near you. Only when the last arm has stiffened, still grasping the hilt. Only when the last drop of blood has been spilled before you. It was this spirit which girded the Finnish patriots when 2 decades later they stood up bravely in defense of their freedom against an overwhelming oppressor. Today we honor the Americans who have defended our freedom in that same spirit." The second thought from Lincoln is the acknowledgement of the price paid for our heritage. We remember those who gave the last full measure of devotion, who gave their lives that this nation might live. Memorial Day calls us to pay respect to the brave men and women, both living and dead, who have fought to preserve this nation. But in doing so, we are compelled to count the cost of our heritage in terms of the lives of our loved ones. In the long run, I think we as Americans appreciate most those things for which we have paid the most. Our American way of life has been purchased at a high price. And we say thank you today to the men and women who, like the men of David, have placed their lives in jeopardy for us. We honor those who are now serving in the armed forces of our country. And we remember gratefully the veterans of the wars of yesterday who responded to their country's call in our hour of danger. If we have caught the vision of Memorial Day, we see not only the parades of today, but also an otherwise invisible parade of heroes. Heroes marching from Vicksburg and Gettysburg, as well as the battlefields of our present century. Soldiers whose blood has nourished the soil from which our freedom grows. It is said that when the train bearing the body of Abraham Lincoln stopped at the railroad station in Albany, New York, and the crowds gathered to get a last glimpse of their martyr president, a poor black woman lifted up her little boy above the crowd and said, "Son, take a long look, for he died for you." Just so today we try to take a long look and view with reverent respect all those whose lives are the price of our heritage. The third thought from Lincoln is consecration to the task of preserving our heritage. The great president asks us, the living, to be dedicated to the unfinished work which the heroes so nobly advanced. He pleads that from the honored dead we take increased devotion to the cause of responsible freedom, that we highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, so that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom. Today we reflect on the tens of thousands that have died in war since, and we wonder. But if these lives lost will serve to awaken us to dedicate ourselves to the unfinished work before us, to set our house in order, to strive intelligently and responsibly to preserve this precious freedom, then and only then, the sacrifice will not have been made in vain. Then we shall have a new birth of freedom. And the vision which Lincoln presents in another famous address will be realized. Let me close with his words. "With malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right, as God gives us to see the right, let us strive on to finish the work we are in, to bind up the nation's wounds, to care for him who shall have borne the battle, and for his widow and his orphan, to do all which may achieve and cherish a just and lasting peace among ourselves and with all the nation." Amen.